Hello, everybody. This is Dr. Fred. I am responsible. I am accountable. I am capable of assisting people to find their true voice and then deliver it effectively into the world around us. With 40 years in mental health, 32 of them as a psychiatrist, and then a massive amount of conversations, including podcasting and expert speaking, keynote speaking, I have the opportunity to really see the magic that it takes to find one's authentic self and then deliver it effectively into the world. And if you're like me, you can see that now more than ever, that's what's called for. So today is that day. Now is that time. Come forth. Join me in the broadcast. You'll see on the other side of this, a true voice with Dr. Fred.
All right. Welcome, everybody. This is Sam Morris, creator of Zen Warrior Training. I just wanted to use this time today to just really talk with you versus talking at you. And there's a lot of folks out there, podcasters and workshop hosts and YouTubers who kind of it feels like they talk at you. At least that's how it feels to me. And, you know, no one really likes to be talked at. It's actually somewhat disrespectful, I think, to talk at one another. So there is going to be zero sort of condescension and 100% respect for your sovereignty, who you are. And really, I feel like that sovereignty is so essential. That respect is so essential to, for me, to have for other people, because I see that all of us are just exquisite human beings at our core. We might not always think that we are exquisite human beings. We're also flawed human beings. But underneath the flaws is an exquisite nature. And it's that exquisite nature that I'm always seeking to find in myself, seeking to discover where my flaws are. And rather than just kind of maintain them, ideally notice them and develop a self-awareness to be able to address those flaws so that I can move forward every day and incrementally, day by day, try to live life in a way that is slightly less flawed and slightly more connected to my own authentic self and also the talents and gifts that I feel that I have to share with the world. And in my career with Zen Warrior Training, I've worked with thousands of individuals and doing private sessions and doing workshops. And these are a lot of high-performing, high-achieving individuals who, like anyone, have their own set of challenges. In fact, frequently, the farther along you become in the high-performing world, this world of success, the more challenges you have. And I wanted to speak to some of those challenges that I've seen, some of those things that I see on such a regular basis, and how I work with them personally. My goal always is to help to bring out the greatest expression of the people that I connect with. And part of that is really helping everyone to see that it is our responsibility to become more self-aware. And that's really, really challenging. That's a lifetime of challenges to become self-aware. I know that I am only so far along my own self-awareness journey, and I'm finding out new things about myself all the time. But one of the things that I've noticed is that people tend to get stuck where they've taken on a notion of who they need to be or who they should be that is incongruent with who they actually are. at a certain stage in their lives. And we're always changing. We are meant to be dynamic. We're meant to be discovering new things about ourselves all the time. But we can get locked into patterns of association, patterns of identity that keep us from moving and keep us from evolving. And one of the biggest influences in that is perceptions that we develop about ourselves when we are kids, when we are growing up. Because when we're growing up, we are inherently unsafe in the world. We get born, these infinite beings, into this world that is quite finite, and a world where we are now very much dependent upon authority figures to make us feel safe. And those authority figures at first are our parents. And so we start to pick up the imprinting from our parents. And we frequently seek to try to impress them or to eventually distance ourselves from them as we're growing into our teen years, adolescence, etc. And all of this stuff creates these identity patterns, these ways in which we identify as trying to feel safe in the world. And a lot of this structures itself into the mind at such an early age that we just go on assuming that we are who we thought that we were from a very early age. And it can take a lot of work to unwind that stuff. And I've worked with hundreds, like I said, hundreds, thousands of really high achieving, successful people who are still to a certain degree stuck in a mindset that was developed at a very early age in certain respects. It still governs a lot of their behaviors. And it's no longer serving them at all. And I see a lot of people who are leaders in this world who are very much governed by those early development mindsets, this notion of trying to prove oneself in the world. I see a lot of politicians out there and a lot of world leaders who you can kind of feel that they're still trying to prove something to the world. There's still an insecurity that's governing their behaviors and a feeling of by being important, they are going to finally receive the validation that they are looking for. And people are doing this in any number of ways all the time. Seeking validation through what they accomplish in the world. And it's that very tendency that prevents people from connecting to a deeper place inside of themselves, a deeper place of how their soul wants to express itself. Because as long as there's part of me that wants to prove itself to the world, then that same part of me will never be able to validate itself. That's always coming from some early childhood conditioning that says I have to seek the attention, love, appreciation, acknowledgement of my parents, of my teachers, of my culture, of society, etc. And that's not actually true at a soul level. That keeps us from evolving and listening to a deeper place inside of us. Keeps us from connecting to something that is more intrinsic. And a lot of people will find that they get sort of exhausted with a sense of all of the responsibilities that they're taking on. But I want to speak to that term, responsibilities, because we misuse that term all the time. Let's think about the term responsibility. If we break it down into its semantic roots, it literally means the ability to respond. Now, if I have a perception that my responsibilities are going to be a burden, and that's how that term is frequently used in our culture, responsibility being connoting a burden, something that we have to, some weight that we have to take on. If my notion of responsibility is that it's a burden, then it's actually, I'm actually conflicted inside of myself. I'm saying the thing that I am taking on is something that I can't really handle because it's a burden. It's interesting to stop and think about that. If I'm able to respond, then it's not a burden. If I feel as though I can't respond, or that it's going to be a struggle to respond, then that feeling creates a burden. So let's check in with ourselves about how we use that term. Are we actually able to respond to the things that we take on? Or would we like to think that we're able to respond, but we're actually not able to respond? Some people take on the responsibility of a job, but they're actually not able to respond to that job. Some people take on the responsibility of having a family, but they're actually find themselves in a state of chaos and totally unable to respond to the situations that emerges in the family. Now, of course, we're not going to ever do anything perfectly, but it's really important to recognize where we're able to respond and where we're not able to respond. And be really honest with ourselves about where we're able to respond and where we're not able to respond. Responsibility literally means I can respond to this situation. So we shouldn't actually take on things that are beyond our ability to respond, should we? If we do, we are going to be in a state of reaction versus response. Then reaction creates this whole conflict inside of ourselves. So part of the work that I'm doing with Zen Warrior Training is working on deconditioning the mind so that we can live free of the programs that we take on from our family and from our culture. When I say programs, it's literally like a program. Thoughts and behaviors that are not our own thoughts, coming from something else, coming from some outside source. Just because you were born to the parents that you were born to does not mean that you agree with the things that they think. Just because you were born in the culture that you were doesn't mean that you ascribe to the same types of values and the same types of interests that your culture ascribes to. But we take that stuff on almost like Velcro takes on lint, and it becomes part of us. And initially, again, all that stuff initially happens because we feel as though without these identities, we're not going to be safe within the construct of our family or our culture or our friend group, our peer group, etc., our chosen profession. And the process of becoming sovereign in life is a process of identifying ways in which we have unknowingly, unwittingly taken on certain programs of thinking that don't belong. And most people go through their own entire lives with perpetuating programs of thinking that aren't theirs, deciding to think thoughts that are not their own thoughts to think. Meditation practices help us to decondition and deprogram the mind. Meditation practices are about experiencing thoughts and feelings and observing those thoughts and feelings from a detached perspective. In other words, being in a space of observation and witnessing the activity that is occurring inside of the body and inside of the brain at any given time. And that is frequently referred to as monkey mind or mental chatter. If you feel like you don't know what I'm talking about right now, just stop and be still for a moment. And notice what is occurring. The moment I said stop and be still, as soon as I stopped, most likely your mind came in and said, how long are we stopping for? When is he going to start speaking again? Or it might have been thinking about other things. It might have been thinking about your to-do list. Or what you had for lunch and whether or not this communication that I'm making right now makes any sense to you, whether or not it's relevant to you. The mind is constantly filling the moment with chatter. And a lot of that mental chatter is unnecessary. It's certainly not necessary to listen to. And it can make us feel kind of, you know, all over the place. Mind is referencing the past. It's referencing the future. It's thinking about memories of, oh yeah, I've heard something like this before. Didn't so-and-so say something like this? Or I read a book about something like this. Oh yeah, I already know all about this. Or is this really useful? Or I still have to pick my kids up in an hour. Is this really an important thing for me to be listening to? Et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. That's mental chatter. It's going on all the time. It's happening constantly. And so much of that mental chatter is why we become as tired as we become. It leads to a lack of vitality because the mind is rarely actually present. And our bodies are trying to be present, and our minds want to be present, but with all of the mental chatter, it can be really hard to clear out all of that activity so that you can actually focus on what there is to focus on. And so practice of meditation or breath work helps to create a greater sense of stillness inside, so that I can return to the present moment and I can experience my presence. And presence is my most valuable asset. Presence is your most valuable asset. Is it not? The degree to which you can be present is the degree to which you have agency. In other words, choice over your actions. Presence recovers choice. And it grounds you in a state of confidence that does not have to be confidence from knowing something intellectually. It's a state of confidence that comes from being grounded here in the moment and feeling safe, secure, abundant, and even appreciating this moment for all that it is. Some people have a gratitude practice to remind themselves of why life is so worth living. That's a great practice. For me, all I have to do is look out the window and I have gratitude because I look at this mystery of life. I'm amazed by the fact that as a human being, I get to be on this curious biological rock that's flying around in the middle of outer space, and one of only however many 7.5 billion people or whatever who exist on this rock at this time. What an extraordinary experience. That is something that grounds me into my appreciation. And it also grounds me into a place where I'm making the choices of how to experience my day. And that appreciation also means that I'm not going to be looking at other people and circumstances outside of me and blaming them for why I'm not having a better day. I'm actually, it's up to me to have the day that I want to have. If my day doesn't feel like it's going well, it's up to me to figure out why. It's not because of the world outside of me. It can't be. It literally cannot be because of the world outside of me. Why? Because the world outside of me doesn't actually exist. Take a moment to consider that. The world outside of you does not exist. I am a figment of your imagination. It's true. You are taking in photons of light. You're taking in frequencies, audio frequencies. Your brain is interpreting the photons of light and the audio frequencies and making sense, making linear, logical sense out of what I'm talking about. Interpreting it and then creating feelings and thoughts around what I am saying right now. So everything about me is literally in your imagination. There is nothing in me that actually exists fundamentally outside of your imagination. That's really cool. It also means that if everything is in my imagination and everything is in your imagination, then anything that we would say or do, which would imply that there is something in the outside world that is causing us pain, it's our responsibility to look at that and go, wow, I just imagined myself into a place of pain and suffering from some external source. Not to say that things don't happen that are triggering and things don't happen that are scary and things don't happen that are really offensive to our minds and to our bodies. But as soon as the thing happens in the outside world, it has to filter through our own experience of our biases and of our conditioning and of our programming. Who we think we are as separate from the outside world. It has to filter through all of that for us to make a decision unconsciously. That's where it comes in. That's why we don't even realize that we're making the decision, because it's happening unconsciously. Unconsciously making a decision about how to think and feel about the thing that just happened outside of us. And the moment that thing happens and our thoughts and feelings get engaged with that outside experience, we create an image of what's happening. We create a perception of what's happening. We create the movie of our lives. We say, well, this fits, this fits, this doesn't fit. This I like, this I don't like. We make those decisions based on what our comfort level is and what our conditioning is. So in my Zen Warrior training programs, I help people to recover their sense of sovereignty, where they can see the imaginal world that they're creating and see the possibilities that are presenting themselves if they actually acknowledge the imaginal world. But that also comes at the cost of no longer having excuses, no longer being able to blame something or someone for why your life isn't more fulfilling or why you don't have more energy or why you have stress. All of that stuff comes from a perception that the outside world can somehow conform to your own interests and programming. Now, with that said, when you actually do recognize that you are imagining the world into existence, then the world actually can conform to your interests. That's the paradox. The paradox is once I recognize, oh, I'm imagining all of this into existence. And you take responsibility for it. You go, oh, I can respond to this. I have the ability to respond to this situation. Once you do that, then you actually can be in resonance with that which you desire and create that which you desire. And get, you know what? All of the thoughts and feelings that I was stuck or I was limited all came from my imagination. Now, I've had the opportunity for the past 24 years to be paralyzed from the waist down. And that opportunity, the reason why I frame it as an opportunity rather than as an accident or an injury or whatever, is the opportunity has been to see, you know what? Physical paralysis to me has not paralyzed my imagination. It has not paralyzed my mind. I don't feel stuck in any way. I feel inconvenienced, sure. I would like to be able to go up sets of stairs that I can't go up. I would like to be able to fit into bathrooms that I can't fit into. I would like to be able to have all sorts of things that the paralysis doesn't allow me to have because of the inconvenience of the being paralyzed from the waist down. I would like to have those things. But at the same time, I also recognize through my moment by moment by moment experience of this for now half of my life, that the only thing that could ever paralyze me would be my own imagination. The only thing that could ever create the perception of being stuck is my mind. And so every day I've worked to keep the gears lubricated, keep my mind moving, keep my imagination moving. The more I do, the more opportunities I attract to me. The more possibilities emerge. But like I said, I have to be willing to not create excuses or not create any type of blame for where I don't feel fully fulfilled or satisfied or like I'm living a life of meaning. By letting go of the blame, by letting go of the excuses, by letting go of all of that stuff, I'm actually in a place of greater sovereignty and greater agency to be able to decide exactly where to place my attention. And I can continue to do that day in and day out. And the things that might normally make me feel tired, frustrated, etc. Not that I don't get tired, frustrated, etc. at times, but it's limited. It's quite limited because I keep remembering to come back to the fact that I have choice. And I can choose to do that which creates fulfillment. That which creates fulfillment in my life will create value in other people's lives. And that which creates fulfillment in my life, as a result of creating value in other people's lives, I can trust that I can maintain and sustain that. And then I can keep finding fulfillment, keep generating value, keep getting paid well to do so, because I'm helping other people's lives too. I'm serving other people from that place. So that's that deeper trust that comes as a result of letting go of all of the excuses, letting go of all of the blame, getting that I'm imagining my reality into existence just as you are, and then exploring from that place. What do I want to do? What would light me up the most? What are the projects that I want to take on? This takes a lot of awareness, and it takes a lot of self-compassion too. This is not something that you can do at the level of the activity of mind alone. I condition my body on a normal everyday basis through breath work and through meditation. I condition my system to let a free flow of energy be moving through me. Because this is the vehicle, this is the vessel for the energy. You know, I look at a lot of people who, by society standards, might appear successful. And I don't see them taking, or I shouldn't say I don't ever, sometimes I do, rarely do I see them taking excellent care of their bodies. Rarely do I see them treating themselves with the type of kindness and respect that they deserve. And that tells me something. Now, without judgment, this is just simply discernment, not judgment. People can do whatever they want to do to their bodies. But why would someone put trash into their body through food that's not serving them? Or use alcohol or drugs that are not actually serving them? Again, this is not judgment. People can do whatever they want to do. But if you have some sense inside of yourself that you are tolerating life by eating food that you know isn't good for you, or by using drugs that stimulate you and take you, numb you to your situation, or lubricate you socially, if you're doing those things, then it's an important question to ask. Is that because you have some notion that life is happening to you? Life cannot happen to you, can it? And some people say life happens for you. I don't know. Maybe so, maybe not. I think life just happens. Life happens to, for, through. Life just happens. By recovering that sense of responsibility, I'm actually creating more freedom in my life. I'm not creating more burden. I'm not taking on more of a weight in my life. I'm actually creating more freedom. The more I can respond, the more freedom I have. Let's use the example of communicating with a loved one. The more you can respond to their needs, not react emotionally to them, the more rapport you have. Or let's use the example of a business negotiation. The more you can respond from a sense of being responsible, the more you can stay grounded, the less expectation you put on yourself and on them, the more it takes away any kind of nervous energy, and the more functional you are, and the more trustable you are as well. So there is not anything that presence cannot create more of. Presence creates more rapport with others. Presence creates more self-awareness. Presence creates more of an internal intuition around what is right for you to live your most fulfilling life versus living from a program, living from a thought that is not, doesn't belong in your mind. And presence is a day by day, moment by moment practice. Every day, I notice thoughts and feelings emerging inside of me and go, where did those come from? Where did that come from? But rather than identifying with it, I ask myself, is that a thought or a feeling that I want to identify with? Or do I want to just let that one go? Maybe that's not me. Maybe that's the voice of a parental figure in my imagination. Maybe that's the voice of some marketing person that I saw on Facebook that left an impression on my mind. This is all about following your path and your path alone, which is hard to do in this world. It's not easy because we are given messages all the time by people outside of us, starting with our parents at a very young age and going to our teachers. Even good impressions can still become a liability at some certain point. It doesn't have to be bad messaging. It can be good. It can be a teacher we really, really loved. And we think, oh, I wish I was more like that. We take on a lot of the character traits that teacher had. And then recognize, actually, that isn't me, that's them. That's their world. This is happening to every single human being. Every single human being. This is part of human nature, is taking on things that isn't us. And the practice of mindfulness is the practice of noticing those things that aren't us and coming back to this place of stillness and equanimity, where we can truly choose our path based on what really is going to create meaning for us. When you're choosing a path that really creates meaning for you, you can show up for the things you choose to do day in and day out with a ton of great energy. Because you want to keep your body in good shape to do those things. You want to keep your mind in shape. Your mind stays engaged with the things that you're doing. And you deserve it. You deserve to experience your sovereign truth, who you are, independent of all the programs that you've picked up. You deserve to live a life free of thoughts that are not your own, feelings that are not your own. You deserve to live a life free of any kind of programming. If you think of the analogy of a computer, from time to time, we need to update our operating system and clean our computers because they don't function very well with all of the files and programs that we've accumulated. in many respects, our brains kind of operate the same way. We have these unresolved memories, especially if there's an emotional component to those memories. And they linger in the unconscious mind. And as long as there is unprocessed emotional memory inside of the mind, we cannot move past those emotional memories. We cannot clean out that computer and start with a fresh operating system. We will always be limited by the emotional state which we allow to perpetuate and sustain itself inside of ourselves. In order to be free of that stuff, we have to clean the hard disk on our internal computer. That's what a meditation practice is all about. That's what eating well is all about. Taking good care of your body, not picking up programs of thought from the world around you, but creating your own from the blank slate of your consciousness. It is what you have the most control over. You don't have control over anyone else. You don't have control over anything in the outside world. The only thing that you have control over is your own imagination. Your own thinking. So brainwash yourself if you wish. Go ahead and brainwash yourself. But brainwash yourself in a way where you're not putting new programs of thinking in. Brainwash yourself in the most respectful, compassionate, and loving way possible. Brainwash all of the programs that are in the way of your freedom. Brainwash all of the programs that are in the way of you being as powerful and as effective as you can be in the world. We have this major leadership crisis in the world right now, where a lot of the leaders are leading us in a direction that we aren't choosing. And a lot of them are not that intelligent. Many of you who are listening to this are far more intelligent than the world's leaders. But in order to lead effectively from your unique intelligence, your unique gifts, your unique talents, it takes becoming aware of what those gifts, talents are, and nurturing them every day. And putting the same amount of time and energy that those leaders go put into proving themselves or doing whatever they're doing, making money, influencing in the way that they're influencing, it takes that same amount of time and energy devoted to you being you, bringing your talents and gifts into the world, creating and imagining the world that you would like to see, and then embodying that on a daily basis, on a moment by moment basis. My vision that I would like to see is a world of amazing human beings who are heart-centered, compassionate, empathic, real, who are the new leaders, who are the ones influencing the decision-making, who are leading from a place of kindness and compassion versus leading from a place of ego and destructive tendencies. And every day I imagine that world, I imagine that into existence. And I'm encouraged by the fact that others are also imagining a world like that. And I actually think it's easier than we think. Yeah, it's going to be complicated in many respects, but the hard part is actually reclaiming our sovereignty, recognizing that we have responsibility that we're not claiming anywhere. We're blaming the outside world for how we're feeling and what we're doing or not doing or whatever. Recognizing that and reclaiming our sovereignty and our power. It's a healing process, really. It's a healing. It's coming back to the essence of who we really are, which is a healing process. Our society as a whole has a lot of illness, not just the obvious illness, but a lot of illness on an existential level. A lot of conflict, which is governing our perceptions. Can you imagine a world where you live conflict-free inside of yourself? Where nothing that anyone says or does impacts your peace of mind? Can you imagine that world? That's a world that I like to imagine every day. That's the world that I'm committed to working on creating. And if I don't see it in this lifetime, I'll come back another lifetime and a lifetime after that to keep working on it. World peace starts with inner peace. It really does. Anyone who is contributing to the conflict in the world is experiencing inner conflict. Guaranteed. When you stop experiencing inner conflict, it's replaced by a reminder of the incredible mystery and beauty of the world. And an insatiable curiosity and possibility. And a feeling of security that comes from within versus a need to be validated by the world outside. And that state, absent of inner conflict, is incredibly powerful. We need a new breed of leaders who are willing to live and lead from a place of inner peace. Who stop blaming. Who stop making excuses. This doesn't mean everyone needs to be changing the world either. You may change the world through art. That might be your thing. Music is one of my things. You may change the world through golf, skiing, whatever it is that drives you, gives you meaning, creates a state of joy and fulfillment inside of you is exactly what you're here to do. There is no hierarchical way of leading where the more influence you have or the more followers you have or whatever, the better you are. No, that's all just ego. You can have zero followers and be doing exactly what you need to contribute your piece of the world, as long as it creates fulfillment inside of you. So you may say, well, all these other people are so far ahead of me. No, they all have the same resources. Maybe some have more money, but they might have more challenges of their own. Your inner resources are the greatest resources that you have. Those are the resources you can rely on. You will not find more of a sense of safety, security, validation with more money, more status, more followers, etc. That is an inner experience. When you are waking up every morning and choosing to do what you choose to do because it's going to create the most fulfillment to you, you won't worry about having followers. You won't worry about having more money. Now you can create more followers and create more money if you want to from that place. Sure, absolutely. But it's not about having it in order to. It's about changing the inner state first. Not chasing money. Not chasing followers. Not chasing status. Not chasing fame. Anything you chase, you're going to just keep chasing and chasing and chasing. And it's going to create more and more suffering. More and more inner conflict. When I went through my experience with paralysis, especially in the early years, I spent months upon months in hospitals at times, and I was stripped down to having nothing. And I recognized that even being stripped down to having nothing for months and months and months at a time, I was still me. I could still choose my experience. I was still fundamentally myself. That experience of being stripped down to that level and discovering that I'm actually okay is very powerful. That lives with me every day. So in these last few minutes, I just encourage you to take in everything that I've shared thus far. Recognize that everything that you're experiencing and everything that you ever have experienced has been a byproduct of your imagination. That doesn't mean that it's not real. It means that if you're imagining it into being, it's real for you. And you have the ability to shape it. You have the ability to leave behind the imaginal world of before and create a new world now. But it's going to take letting go of blame. It's going to take letting go of excuses. It's going to take not taking things personally, being true to your word, especially being true to your word to yourself. Developing that habit of consistency, honoring your presence, honoring your gifts, honoring your talents every day. My experience, there is no better way to live than that. I'm going to leave it at that. Thank you so much. I honor who you are beyond all of your thoughts, beyond all of the labels that your mind identifies with. I honor the light within you. I honor the Zen warrior that you are deep inside. Go ahead and take us out, TJ.
Hello, everybody, and I just wanted to thank you for getting through another episode of True Voice with Dr. Fred. Wasn't that great? It is so much fun to interact with people and then interact with my listenership about really finding True Voice and then bringing it forward. I really have never done anything more important than this, and I'm finally aligned with myself by helping others find their True Voice. Let's find your alignment. What do you really want in your life?